just sensed this morning that God was just saying, be still and know that I'm God. Be still your soul. Be still your mind. Because that we can have so much turmoil, and as Kathy pointed out, there's so much grief and trouble and stuff out there in the world that we can easily be stirred up in the wrong way. You know, get all excited and emotional, and maybe upset and worried. We've gone through a bit of a tough time over the last week or so. Every time you go to a tough time, it seems like it was worse than the time before. But the one thing that I've always been able to find is there's a level of stability on the inside we call the rock of our salvation, the rock of Jesus. It's the spiritual rock that you can feel. I can literally feel that I'm in this peaceful place, though everything is going crazy in my emotions and my mind. And you know, you've got this attitude of, I've got to do something. I've got to do something. And on the inside, you're like, it's good. God is in control. The Lord is God. He is sovereign. He's got this. And I think the challenge in life for us a lot of times is to be able to let that and this come into the harmony where that is into this. You know, I talked a couple of weeks ago that we talk about making things drop from here down to here, the 18-inch drop, as we used to call it. But I think it's the exact opposite. Yeah. This is right. That's not right. That's not what's got to drop down here. This has got to take control of what's up there. True? Yeah. Yeah. And I think that really is my theology in a nutshell, is to transforming and renewing of our minds. Mm-hmm. You know? God is love. Mm-hmm. And God is good. And I love those songs because they really highlight a lot of things that is kind of the foundation of what I want to share this morning. But as I said before, we're talking about love a little bit on as a topic this month. And I just can't help but be grateful to the Lord and be thankful for the love that He has for me. And the love that He has for me is not what I thought it was for 37 years of my life as a Christian. That's not what it is. It's way, way bigger than that. You know, we talk about the grace of God and amazing grace. You know, if God just said, okay, well, I forgive you of your sin, now live a good life, and when you finish, I'll bring you to heaven, that would have been amazing grace. But is that really God? If it's too good to be true, it's probably God. If it's true, then maybe we can get away with it somehow, but if it's too good to be true, it must be God. And I believe, especially after the encounter that I had with the Lord about the love of God, is that He is like mega, over the top, more than what we can ask or think or believe. True?
Yes.
He is way bigger. I mean, the grace that we live in today is like, we're talking out there beyond what you think it is, what I think it is. And one of the reasons why we gather, one of the reasons why we worship, one of the reasons why we fellowship, one of the reasons why we listen to the Word, or we pray, we study, is to grasp, to grab a hold of the depth and the bigness of God. I believe that we've got way more in front of us than what we think, but we also have way more inside of us than we're willing to admit. God is love. 1 John 4:7. We used to sing that song. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. Who knows that song? Who's heard that song? No? I got less than a nodding. Mary, did you sing that song? Okay. In my version, it goes like this. Beloved, let us love one another. The love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. No one's heard that song?
No.
So, only that one. I think I did it about 50% justice. Person is laughing, it's probably not even 50%. But you see, that was one of the ways we remember Scripture, right? 1 John 4:7-8, and then you go straight into it. So many scriptures in song we used to sing back in the day. That's so sick.
I love it.
I love it.
You know, I could literally speak all day on just these couple of verses, but let's just move on to the story. Beloved. So he's not talking to a bunch of dropout, dead big no gooders. He says, beloved. We are beloved. As much as God loves Jesus, he loves you and me. That's the message. That is the message. Let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, I hope I don't step on any toes, but the Word of God says what the Word of God says. A lot of people are looking for the feeling and the emotion and the satisfaction of knowing that God loves them. So, I don't feel his presence, I don't feel the warm and fuzzies, and so I wonder if God loves me. And so, even as children, we grow up trying to gain our parents' love. A lot of us in the church are still growing into that same mold of saying, if I can only do this, if I can only do that, if I can go fix this, if I can only stop doing that, then God will love me more. I will feel love. But you see, there's only one thing that we need to know about the love of God is that he sent Jesus. The cross is empty. He demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you never, for the rest of your life, never feel the warmth and the fuzzies in the presence of God, it doesn't change the fact that God loves us. Because Jesus died and was raised from the dead. Amen? Amen. So if ever you feel like you're not being loved, or just, maybe you need another person to come and give you a hug so someone can demonstrate the emotional stuff. But deep down, you should know and remember and forever stand on the fact that God loves you. And he loves you to the point that he's sent his only begotten Son. If I ask you the question, what's your life worth? What's anybody's life worth? Is it worth $1,000, $10,000, $1,000,000, $5 million, $1 billion? What's it worth? It's worth another life. That's what it's worth. And it's not just worth another life of another human. It's the worth of the life of a Son of God who was human and was divine. Amen? This is the most powerful message. Now, I've got two stories about my dad to demonstrate probably this is the best illustration I can think of. I think I might have shared this one before where I had this little job to do in the city of assembling a reception desk in an office. And my dad used to do that kind of work before he retired. And so I got this reception desk all made up in pieces. And then you have to bundle it together, take it into the city, take it upstairs into the office area, and put it together. So Dad being retired, I said, Dad, do you want to come and give me a hand just to get him out of the house? So he did. He came and he took his tools, my van, got the equipment, got upstairs, and we did the work. And we finished it all, installed it, handed it over, and we got down. It was the last load that we were taking down to the car. We got into the lift, and as we got into this elderly gentleman, looked at me, just you can see him, eyeing us out, and he goes, the maker has left his mark. And then turned around and pushed the button. And that's what he said, and we sort of had small talking. But what did he mean? The maker has left his mark. Maybe I should have got a photo of my dad to put it up so you can see. Everyone who knows my dad, I look a lot like my dad. I mean, we can all relate to that, true. I look like my dad and have a lot of his mannerisms and things like that, but I'm nothing like him in personality. I am nothing like him in personality, but I look like him. When you and I are born of the Spirit, we look like God. Some people don't know how to grasp that. They find that too, it's too unbelievable, it's too good, it's I look like me. I am. We judge ourselves by whatever it is that we see in ourselves. But the truth is that when we're born again, we're born into his likeness and image. True?
Amen.
The next question is, what about the character? I look like my dad physically, but I was nothing like him in character and personality. Let's flip that around for the things of God. In my spirit, the newly created me, the recreated me, the part of me that was born again, is 100% spitting image of my Father. But I'm nothing like it in the way that I behave and the way I talk, the way I think. True? And this is where the dilemma comes for us as Christians. We see what the scripture says and we feel like we fall short of it, and so we go about doing a whole bunch of things to try and fix it. Are we on the same page? How can you fix something that's not broken? If you already look like him, what are you trying to fix? It's the behavior.
True?
It's the behavior. Now, a person who is not born again, who does not know God, who doesn't know what righteousness is, doesn't know how to live by faith, he doesn't understand grace, all they've got is what they grew up with. Right? Their environment shaped the way they behave, the way they think, the way they talk. True? It's a mixture of them, and it's a matter of what they grew up with. You know, we all grew up in an Australian culture, but if you go to, say, Asia, it's a different culture. You feel completely out of your world, right? So what I'm saying is, people that don't know Jesus grow up with all these things as part of their lifestyle. And so when they get born again, when we get born again, we bring all that baggage with us. So we've got a brand new spirit that's born in the image of God. And we know things that we didn't know before. We see things we didn't see before. We understand things we didn't understand before. But our behavior is still the old way. And so renewing of the mind and renewing of the spirit of the mind is to try and bring the two together. Now you can do this one of two ways. You can say, okay, the Bible says to be holy, and everything I do is not holy, so I have to stop doing this, and I have to stop doing that, and I have to cut this out, and I have to stop saying that. And we're so busy focusing on all the things that we need to stop that we forget what we're actually supposed to be. So when I was growing up, my dad was a very harsh dad. I never heard him say, I love you, son. Every time I had a close relationship with my mum, and she would say to me, oh, mum, daddy and I love you. You know that. You have to remember that. You know, daddy and I love you, or daddy and I love you. It was always secondhand information that dad loved me. He never told me. But when he was displeased with me, he told me and he showed me. And so I grew up being afraid of my dad. Every time I did wrong, he smacked me or yelled at me, or you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that that's bad, it's just the way it was. You know, I hear stories of people that are being literally abused, and I'm like, no, it wasn't that bad. I wasn't abused, I would certainly never cry victim. You know, I think he was way harsher than he should have been. I think I got punished way worse than what the situation deserved. But what I'm saying is that it made me fear my dad. So when I got born again, I needed to understand God the Father, and I still saw him as a harsh God. How many can relate?
Yeah.
We still see him as a harsh God. Then when I turned 19, I had my 19th birthday on the 8th of September 1974. It's on a Sunday. Monday morning I was on an airplane going to Lackland Air Force Base in Texas, San Antonio, Texas. Got into the military. Went to the Air Force, got processed in, signed my life away for 4 years. The first thing they did was put us through this supply building, whatever you call it. They started giving us, you know, here's your duffel bag, here's your two pairs of this pants, here's two pairs of those shirts, here's two pairs of this uniform. What size is your hat? I have no idea, never wore a hat. Try this one, you know. They gave us new hats, they gave us new uniforms. You got one pair of combat boots, one pair of utility boots, and they completely fitted us out. You're going to have this stuff for the next 4 years of your life in the Air Force. If you lose it, you damage it, you replace it at your own cost. But this is all supplied. You know what they call them, GIs? They're government issued. GI stands for government issued. So everything that you wear, right down to your underwear, is given to, is issued to you. So what does that, what did that do to me? It started to conform me. Right? After we got all this stuff, we went through the haircut. And one guy was, they asked this one guy in front of us, he said, "Do you want to keep your hair?" And the guy said, "Yep, I do." He said, "Put out your hand." So he went, and he put it in his hand. He said, "You can keep it." Every one of us, creeped up. 1/8 of an inch stubble. Have you ever tried sleeping with 2 inch stubble on a pillow? On a solid cotton sheet pillowcase? I've always had hair, you know, so you have to sleep on your hair. All of a sudden you've got these million little prickles. Picture here, okay. I'm forever fixing my hair. I should go back to 1/8 of an inch stubble. Everything was uniform. Everyone wore the same clothes. Everyone had the same haircut. We wore the same boots. Everything was regimented. Bang, 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 bang. Conform. Conform. In the midst of all that, I got born again. And for the next 37 years of my life, I tried to somehow work together what I had in Christ and what I had from experience. And it just wasn't working. I found too many faults. Too many blockages, too many frustrations. Until I had that love encounter with God about 3 years ago. And then I realized that God loved me no matter what. And that He's not really loving me more or loving me less because of my performance. Whether I do good or whether I do bad, He still loves me. The desire is to do good. The desire is always to do good. But if my wrong thinking wants me to constantly fix the bad, I'm focusing on the bad and not on the good. And I think 2 weeks ago when I shared about this, if God is love and we have been born of His Spirit, then we are sons of love. True? You have to get this, because if your inner man is created in His image and you live from your Spirit, the Bible says that if we walk after the Spirit, we will be made alive. If we walk after the flesh, we will die. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So in verse 16, I've got another one here, that we have known and believed the love that God has for us. I have to believe that God loves me and he has put his Spirit within me, and I need to learn to walk by that Spirit and not by my head. Does that make sense? In the Old Testament, they had to follow rules, but even when they followed the rules, it didn't say that God showed love to them. God loved them because they kept the rules. They just were made right when they sacrificed, so they were covered over. They were covered over. They were covered over. But in the New Testament, we find that we are loved and that we are accepted in the Beloved. How many know what love is according to Corinthians chapter 12 or 13? Sorry. Love is patient, love is kind, love is, you know, I don't want to read them because it's too much information, but read that and say, you've got to read that in context twice. God is love, therefore love is, and therefore God is. So God is patient, God is kind, God is, right? Just insert God into that and get a picture of what God is like. God, it doesn't say anywhere here that he's harsh, he's mean, he's nasty. Doesn't say that. He tells you exactly what he's like. And then you go back through it again and you say, I am patient. I am kind. I am. It seems very foreign when you do it the first time. Has anyone done that? I've done it a few times. And it doesn't seem to fit. Because you and I judge ourselves by what we do and how we behave. And we don't behave that way most of the time. As we're learning, we're getting better and better. But then, the fruit of the Spirit who is the Spirit? God, right? So if we have the fruit of the Spirit, then God is that fruit, or he has that fruit. Is that logical? So this is the fruit of the Spirit. So if we have the Spirit, then we can have that characteristic. So what am I really saying? What I'm saying is that if we understand who God is and what God is like, and that we believe that that love is for us regardless of what we're like, because it's already been dealt with on the cross, and that we have that Spirit in us, then we are the same characteristics that he is inside. And I need to look at what he has done in me, who he is in me, and then live my life out of that perspective, rather than look at the things that I see in myself as in the natural, and what I'm used to and how I behave, and try and fix it somehow. Because even if I try and fix it, and I have the wrong image of what I'm supposed to fix it to, I'm actually working on the wrong thing. I'm wasting my time to try and become something that the word doesn't say. God wants us to be one with him and for him to be one with us. The whole purpose of salvation was so that he could bring his Spirit into us. That's the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the whole point of God doing whatever he did was to be able to come and live inside of you and me. And if he comes in, he's no longer living in an unholy vessel. Does that make sense? God will not live in the presence of sin, or should I say sin will not live in the presence of God. When he moves in, sin moves out. It's only the flesh that we're used to in the past that's trying to maintain some kind of control. Amen? Bless you. I want to finish with that thought. It's not a long message, but it's a deep message, because it has to affect us to our core. And if we live out of what we have already and agree with what this says that we have, then we live that way and we put the other thing aside. Amen? Father God, we just want to thank you that your word is alive, your Spirit is within us, and you are teaching us, Lord God, how to live the life that you've already died and paid for that we can live. Lord, I thank you that we're going to go to heaven one day, but you've done way more than just give us a salvation gift that will be a package that we can open up on the day of our passing from this world to the next. Lord, you've given us a package that we can unfold now and live every single day of our life.